How do we get from a Champions League and FA Cup winning striker who only retired last year, aged 39, to the stadium that gave Arsene Wenger the toughest years of his life?
Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers with myself, Dave, and hello, Josh. How are you?
Did I surprise you there? Like, yeah, I walked in the room. Oh, he's here. Pretty good, thanks.
You all right? It's early morning.
It's early morning. My bed is approximately 2 meters away from me. I crawled out of it, phoned you, and here we are.
Here we are.
Bon appetit.
Ready to go. An interesting one. Interesting one. This we've got non-footballer as one of the ending. My choice.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and Dave toyed with a statement, the first modern stadium. Well, that was the first bit. I was like, that's not right, Dave.
Yeah.
Built in the Premier League era. I'm not sure that's right, Dave. Post 2000, well, again, I'm not sure that's right.
But I still think my statement of modern football stadium post 2000 in the Premier League is acceptable. I think the Emirates is the first modern stadium.
Probably because it's one of the most niche statements ever. Yeah. In London.
Yeah. After moving from one location to another. Yeah.
Yeah. With a capacity over 60,000.
Yes. Exactly. So I think we've nailed it. So, but we'll get onto the Emirates Stadium in a minute, Josh. You're starting us off. You're the start of this journey today. And yeah, you've gone with, well, a Champions League and FA Cup winning striker who only just retired.
Yeah. And it's contentious whether he has to retire or not. Oh. The jury's out.
Okay.
And I'll explain why. So we have Milan Baroš. First up, what are your memories, Dave? What do you think?
Wearing number five at Aston Villa. I was a big fan.
He did.
I was a big fan of Milan Baroš.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, so firstly, that does not come up in his Wikipedia page. What? Not the fact you were a big fan. That's not mentioned.
It should do.
But it should do, yeah. It's within our gift to change that. But the fact that he wore the number five. There's not a contentious shirt number situation. It is a certain grouping. But what is contentious about his page is that straight off the bat, personal life at the top. It's normally early career, isn't it? Or early life.
Yeah.
And they've thrown in straight away up here, born, married, kids, all at the top of the page. Unorthodox.
Oh, yeah. That is normally right at the bottom, isn't it? After you have that career and everything. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong, it's just different. So are we saying that's an action, or are we saying,
I'm not happy with that. Oh. You have templates, and this is just ripping up that template. This goes to the bottom straight away.
Okay,
not happy with that.
Action taken. Move into there is one interesting bit about it, though. It involves his arrest. He got arrested at one point for driving a car really fast, but not just really fast. He set a record in the area. It's like he's got presented an award. Yeah, got the record for driving 168 miles an hour.
Oh my word, wow.
Milan Baroš, he is Czech, in case you don't remember, you thinking you may have got your European countries mixed up. Czech, started his career quite young. He was in Banik Ostrava.
Just avoiding his youth career, are you there, with those names?
I've named one of them Banik Ostrava because I've heard of them.
Yeah.
The one preceding that is not Banik Ostrava.
No, okay, carry on. Yeah.
Yes. And he started young, 17. He won winning talent of the year for Czech football a few years later. And that kind of got Liverpool interested. And he joined them for a paltry sum, I suppose, you know, 3.2 million. But he actually had some issues with his work permit. And I seem to remember this. He was signed, and then there was a delay until he played. And in fact, in that first season, he joined in the January transfer window of, I think it was 2002. And he made his debut replacing a pod favourite, Emil Heskey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. Came on for Emil Heskey away at Barcelona in the Champions League. And don't know what he did wrong. That was his only appearance of the year. That's it. That's what happened there. Now, this is where I remember him. Next season, and 2002-03, away at Bolton, scoring two goals. Now, I remember that. I've got a vivid memory. Do you remember that as well? Or is that just weirdly in my brain?
No, I think it's just weirdly in your brain. What were the goals like? I'm trying to think.
I've got a feeling one was a really nice kind of not a top corner finish, but I really hit the back of it nice and firm. I whizzed past the goalkeeper's hand. And I don't think the keeper got a hand either, which makes it even better.
Yeah, you like that. Yeah, you like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've got a memory of Milan Baroš just scoring a lot of goals going round the goalkeeper. And I don't know if I've made that
really
up. I've got a feeling he used to go, you know how on like Football Manager you'd get like player traits and it would be like lobs the keeper or attempts overhead kicks or something. I swear he would have had likes to round the keeper. I had a
Let's just quickly go down to his style of play section and maybe so his style of play section is a lot less wordy than we used to, which is nice. I like that.
Yeah.
But he gave him the nickname the Estravan Maradona, which I don't know. It's very much like saying some scandal is something gate, like Watergate, isn't it? It's a very... There's not many... not much imagination involved in that. And I mean, and then the actual wording around his style of play is he was noted particularly for being a quick player with good dribbling skill. Not many adjectives, but maybe... I'm just thinking maybe he was good dribbler, take it around the keeper,
yeah,
as they say in the poem. Yeah?
I think... sort of feel like I know that we say that plus style of play sections are too big. I feel like that's too small. That needs plumping out a bit, I feel.
Okay, Dave, straight off the bat, what are you adding to Milan Baroš's style of play? Being a fan and all?
Nippy, low centre of gravity.
Nippy.
Quick, good off the last man. Played off the last shoulder. I'm not one for adjectives. You're asking me to write a style of play off the top of my head right now. I can't do that. I need a bit of time.
Okay.
I need a bit of time.
All right, okay. Well, do you want me to leave that with you?
Possible action, I think.
Possible? I think there's definitely an action there. Style of play.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's too short.
That's too short. But, okay, well, back to his career. So he's at Liverpool. He's made his debut. He's scored some Premier League goals. He wins a trophy, first trophy League Cup final against Manchester United. Any memory of this, being a Manchester United fan? 2-0 Liverpool.
I do have a memory of that. We didn't play very well. We were in our gold Vodafone kit, I want to say it would have been.
Ooh.
I think, for the final that year, I think it would have been. I have a brief memory. I can't really remember the game, but yeah.
Okay. It was bittersweet for him because he came on as a sub and also got subbed off, which is a bit shame.
Yeah, no one likes that. Yeah. Was it subbed off injury wise or is it just
this was kind of like, let's wrap it up guys, we're 2-0 up, let's not take any chances, bring someone later on. And next, so then, you know, of next season, nothing much more mentioned. Broke his ankle next season in the same match Jamie Carragher broke his leg.
That's a bad match.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Now I'll touch on it later, but during his time at Liverpool he obviously also playing for Czech in the Euros, was actually top scorer at the Euro 2004. He actually has a really good record for Czech Republic, 41 goals, 93 appearances, only second only to who in the goal scoring ranks?
Big Jan Koller.
Big Jan Koller, yeah. Probably his strike partner.
It would have been, 100%, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so he came back from that tournament and he was the main man. Heskey and Owen had been sold. Gabriel Cissé was injured, meant he started a number of matches. Morientes was there as well, but he was actually the starting striker in the Champions League final against Milan.
What, in the 3-3?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. No, so it would have been Baroš up top, Berger, Schmeitzer either side.
Was Berger there?
Was Berger Kuhl. There?
Kuhl.
Oh, yeah, it would have been Harry Kuhl. Yeah, Harry Kuhl. Yeah. And Harry Kuhl got injured early on, didn't he? Yeah, yeah. Got injured.
We've got Gerrard and Alonso and but he got subbed off late on, so he didn't take a penalty, but he did make an impression apparently because he dropped the trophy apparently. Dented it, and Liverpool said they won't fix it because it's like you do as a parent, you go, oh, it's just a memory, isn't it? My child scratched the wall, that's just memories now. Yeah, bad ones. But he ended that season as joint top scorer. Now, this is where it doesn't go into much detail because it says next season, like, you've top scorer, you've won Champions League. Next season, only made 2 appearances, scoring no goals. Something went wrong.
Former manager Gerard Houllier tried to sign him for Lyon. The player rejected the approach and then only made 2 substitute appearances for Liverpool. 2 substitute appearances. Wasn't even a start. Wow.
No. And so he he was like, okay, I'm off. So he goes to Villa for a few seasons. But then, you know, you mentioned he regretted Gerard Houllier. He then joins Gerard Houllier at Lyon. So he must have hated Villa even more.
Yeah.
I don't have much memory of him in a Villa shirt, if I'm honest.
There's no like matches I remember of him in a Villa shirt, but I definitely remember him in a Villa shirt. And it was, I remember him because, can you remember who I might use on a podcast in a future date, actually? Juan Pablo Angel.
I do remember Juan Pablo
Angel. I was
Angel.
A big fan of Juan Pablo Angel at Villa, and I feel like Baroš was going to fill that void for me at Villa.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so Lyon came calling, and it never really took off. I mean, they won the league both times he was there, but he didn't really make too many appearances. So he was loaned out to Portsmouth, where they won the FA Cup that year, and he's described as having a big impact. I mean, he didn't actually score. In his time there, but they say that he won the penalty in the quarters against Man United. He assisted the goal in the semi, and then less so he came on for Kano in the final. But he didn't get to be part of the trophy parade, and so rumours was he wasn't going to be signed permanently. Yes, and he wasn't. He went back to Lyon, but then was sold to, as all players do in this, you know, not all players, but often twilight their career. I've been around a bit. Where'd you go? Turkey. Galatasaray.
Friends of the pod, Turkish Super League.
Turkish Super League. And this is actually, that's his longest stint. So he plays four seasons here. The amount of games he's played and goals he's scored is actually really fruitful for him. Started off straight away with a bang, 20 league goals and 31 appearances. Loving life. But, you know, next season, another injury. And this is kind of, if I was to overall sum, to, you know, add into a summary, injuries play a part throughout this guy's career. So the ever controversial Emre Belözoğlu.
Emre Belözoğlu, yeah,
had some a checkered past. Yep.
Yeah.
He broke his leg in a challenge with him and never really recaptured that form. So, you know, the goals get less and less as we go through, and he ends up leaving after four seasons, and then it becomes very chop and changey. Banik Ostrava again, back to Turkey again. Banik Ostrava again, a couple of Czech sides. Banik Ostrava again. So that's four stints at Banik Ostrava overall.
Yeah, fair enough. You said that it was contentious whether he's retired or not. Is,
well, yes, because you see here it says final season down here 1920. Yeah, in his career stats.
Yeah.
But if we go up top there, we've got where he's born. So he was born in Vicentice, yeah. And it has him playing there, and it also mentions him in the top line. He currently plays for that club at an amateur level now,
and it does say, is club that information, current team FK Vicentice. So
yeah,
I don't think, oh hang on now, that, yeah, so the line at the top, Josh.
Yeah.
The second paragraph, last bit, before retiring from professional football. So he's retired as a professional footballer. So I think that's acceptable for how the page is laid out for his stats at the bottom.
But do you not feel that, like, in the wording, there should be, he now plays amateur football in the return to Czech league? Well, it's not, it doesn't fit into the return to Czech league because he's not really playing in a, that would be a professional Czech league, you'd think.
Yeah, he's,
maybe return to Czech Republic and we could add in the bit about him playing.
Yeah,
amateur.
I think a sentence in there can just be done with, he still plays as an amateur at an amateur level for FK Vicentice, whatever it is. So,
okay.
Scoring where he's clearly well above his level, below his level, sorry, because he scored 12 goals in 8 games. So it just shows you, doesn't it, when people are like, there's amateurs and they're like, wow, I could have played professionally. Well, could you? Because Milan Baroš is 40, he's dropped down to play amateur football and he's banging 12 goals in 8 games. So could you do that at a professional level?
Yeah.
No, you couldn't. So,
no, you couldn't.
Yeah.
So other bits on the page, we have obviously we touched on his style of play, we talked through his stats, there's a thorough list of his goals at international. And it scores a number of kind of doubles. You know, there's a lot of wide sections here. So he's got, we've grouped it all together. So he scored, you know, a couple of goals here, a couple of goals there. He scored 4 goals against San Marino at one point in a game.
I think that is something I might be able to do. I know we were just saying about professional football being a different level. I think we could probably score a couple of goals against San Marino.
Yeah. It also has, which is not often seen on pages, beneath his international goals, we have international appearances and goals by tournament. So we have, you know, Euros qualifiers, European tournaments, FA Cup qualifiers, World Cup tournaments, So it's, yeah, that's quite nice. Nice little addition there. And then we have his honours. We've touched on Champions League and League Cup. We obviously have the leagues with Lyon, the FA Cup with Portsmouth, won the league with Galatasaray, won a cup in all later on there. Won a cup in one of his stints in Czech Republic. And then, you know, a few individual awards. So, yeah, there's some places to move off from. So, Dave, that's Milan Baroš in a nutshell.
Quick check for you, Josh, because I know that you like to know this. Home nations he scored against?
I did like the pun, though. Quick check. Yeah, he was a quick check, actually.
He was. Nippy. Low centre of gravity. Style of play, done.
So what we got? We have got Republic of Ireland. He's got a goal. Oh, he scored against us. He scored against England. Finally. And we've got Republic of Ireland again and Northern Ireland. Everyone's got Northern Ireland.
Yeah, no. Just so no Wales, no Scotland.
No Wales and no Scotland.
Okay. Fair enough. So moving on then, Josh, to where we have to end. And I feel like this could be potentially one of the hardest endings we've got to get to, being a stadium.
Yes, because we need a reference to a stadium. Unless we can think, oh no, because it's not going to be any...
Well, I've got... Hang on. We'll get on to how I think
okay. All right, yeah, I'll
get into it in a minute. Let's just have a little bit of a background. So the Emirates Stadium, interestingly for you, Josh, not sure if you're aware, known as Ashburton Grove prior to the sponsorship, was its official name before they agreed the deal with the Emirates. And in official UEFA competitions, known as the Arsenal Stadium, because they're not allowed to have sponsored names in a UEFA competition.
Oh, are you a fan of a sponsored stadium?
I don't mind it. I feel like it's modern football. I feel like it's a bit strange. Like, I think when St. James's Park became Sports Direct at St. James's Park, or wherever it was really weird. But this was a new stadium, wasn't it? It was like Wembley's not called Wembley. It's actually like the Wembley EE Arena or something. Wembley EE Stadium or something like that. I think when it's a brand new one, I think it's okay. Like Tottenham, for example, if they'd come out with the sponsorship straight away, you're sort of like, yeah, fair enough. The problem with Tottenham is that if it lasts 5-6 years without it and then they sell the naming rights and it changes its name, you're sort of like, oh, well, I've got used to it now. So
yeah, and that's surely in the mind of the company who's purchasing the rights, like, well, no one's going to call it this. Like, I want name recognition.
Yeah,
but to be fair, Spurs, no one really goes to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I still call it the Lane, really.
And yeah, oh
dear. Then, I mean, I'm like, oh, it's not really, oh, well, no one really cares. No one really cares. Stadium name use.
Yeah, that's very true. But yes, so it is technically known as the Arsenal Stadium in UEFA competitions, which is a little interesting fact. Holloway, it's in Holloway, London, in England. Capacity, 60,260, makes it the fourth largest football stadium in England. Which three are above it, Josh?
Well, obviously, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Yep.
Wembley.
Yep.
I'm going to guess it's at the London Stadium as well.
No.
Oh, Old Trafford.
Old Trafford. There we go. Yeah, I thought it was in your brain somewhere. I didn't need to.
Yes, give you a hint. Yeah. So I was thinking of modern stadiums, actually, Dave. We always talk of modern stadiums. I don't think of that clapped out old hellhole you've got up there.
Yeah. How would you define a modern stadium, Josh? Like the Reebok or the Stadium of Light?
yeah, something like that.
So relocation began in 2002 from Highbury. Obviously, the old standard Highbury. Did you ever go to Highbury?
No, I've never been to either.
Oh, okay. So I went to Highbury, not been to the Emirates. I saw, weirdly, being a Man United fan, I saw Arsenal v Liverpool at the Highbury. So
you're just there going, I hate everything here.
Boo! Just boo everything! But yeah, so financial difficulties, as is seems to be the way with stadiums in England, delayed it for completion until... starting work until February 2004. Emirates were announced and it was therefore called the Emirates Stadium. The entire project was completed in 2006 at a cost of... Give me an estimated cost to the nearest 10 million.
The whole
project of the stadium, yeah. So the whole renovations, building the stadium and the outlying area.
500 million.
No, well over that. Sorry, you're well too high. 390 million is what it
was. Okay.
Yeah, not too bad. The club's former stadium, which was Highbury, was developed into an apartment complex, of which I've had an overnight stay in one of those apartments. So technically I've been to Highbury twice. Once as a stadium, once as an apartment.
Is there still a bit of grass in the middle?
So yeah, there is, yeah. So I've stood where Thierry Henry, I was staying over at some Arsenal supporter friend's house, and they walked me down and they took me to the place exactly where Thierry Henry scored the little flick volley spin turnover Barthez. I was like, thanks for that. Yeah, no. Cheers.
I would assume no ball games are allowed in that grass.
I don't think they're allowed, no. I don't think they're allowed. No. The irony.
Yeah.
But yes, the stadium... since 2009 has undergone a process of arsenalization, which is a word I now love, Yes. It was among a change to get the stadium as a modern stadium to be linked to the Arsenal of old and bring fans along and make it feel like a fan, a so fan
put
culture.
Some old trinkets in there.
Yeah.
Is that what it did?
Pretty much. So the first changes, white seats were installed into the pattern of the club's trademark canon, which I think is quite a common thing now. You get stadiums that have either a club logo or a sponsor or something that's synonymous with the club as a coloured seats. They, the spirit of Highbury is a shrine depicting every player to have played for Arsenal during its 93-year residence, which was erected in late 2009 outside the stadium. Large murals are on the exterior of the stadium, which I think is the ones you see whenever you see like the outside of the Emirates, which does look pretty good. And then there is obviously the stadium, there's statues, sorry, that are there of the very famous players. Thierry Henry's got one. He may be cast in bronze, but that was gold, is the famous line of commentary from Clive Tildesley, I want to say, who did it. Another interesting little fact, it's used as Brazil's home away from home. So when Brazil don't play their home games in... No, you're correcting me there. It's hosted international games, and they've all been Brazil being the home team. International game that's been hosted at the Emirates as a friendly has involved Brazil, and Brazil have always been the designated home team.
I think I'm probably more thinking of the training ground, because I'm pretty sure Brazil have used Spurs' training ground. And I was thinking, oh, that doesn't sound right, but yeah. Stadium.
No, for actual
matches. I accept.
Yeah, yep. Good. But the interesting thing is obviously, and I sort of alluded to it, the Arsene Wenger era after the stadium move. And I've got a little quote here. I say a little quote, it's quite a long quote, but it goes into like the loans and the repayments and things like that. And it's good. Like, Arsenal moved to the Emirates Stadium. The club prioritised repaying the loans over strengthening the playing squad. Arsenal's self-sustaining model relied heavily on qualifying for the UEFA Champions League. As Wenger recalled in 2016, we had to be 3 years in the Champions League out of five and have an average of 54,000 people. We didn't know we would be capable of that. The club sold several experienced players throughout the late 2000s, early 2010s, and raised ticket prices, upsetting supporters, and they've all called for change ever since. Wenger took umbrage over the criticism and revealed the bank loans were contingent on the commitment to the club. The banks wanted the technical consistency to guarantee that we have a chance to pay them back. I did commit and I stayed and under very difficult circumstances. So for me to come back and on top of the critics reproaching me for not having won the championship during that period is a little bit overboard. Wenger later described in an interview the stadium move as the toughest period of his life because of the restricted finances in place. Do you reckon you wish you left under all of that situation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like staying with someone when it's not right. And like, you've got loyalty there, but you know, there's always rumours, you know, Real Madrid came calling and things like that. I would have loved to have seen that Arsene Wenger model placed upon a different side, because it was some glorious football when he had the top players at his pump. But I completely feel for him, because a lot of fans don't appreciate the financial struggles and the requirements put upon them by, you know, shareholders and also banks and to repay elements. So completely feel for him, and it makes perfect sense that they would have to do that. And yeah, it's not easy. But, yeah, well done, Arsene Wenger, for sticking around.
Yeah, very true. Right, so you touched on it before. It's gonna be pretty tough to get in to finish at the Emirates Stadium. I do think there's ways in, though. So I've made a little list on our OneNote as well. The listed players that have statues or an involvement in the Arsenalisation, because I think they will have a little bit in on their pages which says they had a stadium now placed out, a statue or this or that outside the Emirates. The likes of Thierry Henry, Martin Keown, Tony Adams, you know, the big and bigger sort of names, maybe Steve Bould, Lee Dixon, Dennis Bergkamp, Vieira, Seaman. I think a lot of those might have the fact that they're involved in the Arsenalisation of the Emirates. I think that's a potential way in. Get to Highbury, if we can find a game that was played at Highbury, because Highbury will have a little bit in it that says Arsenal moved from Highbury to the Emirates.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Literally, click on Arsenal if they ever come up, because it will say their home stadium is the Emirates Stadium. And Arsene Wenger could be a way in if we can get to Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, the one I thought of also was that you mentioned Brazil. I'm thinking any Brazilian player who's scored in a match would have, like, mate, I was just checking Milan Baroš's list here. Like, he's got all the stadiums. Like, he hasn't scored at the Emirates, but you'd have, you know, I don't know, Neymar has scored a goal at the Emirates, probably playing for Brazil in a friendly, and if it's got his list at the bottom of the page.
Now, that's a great way in, and the only one I can really think of off the top of my head is that I know for a fact David Luiz has scored a goal at the Emirates for Brazil. I don't really want to risk it, though, in case I'm wrong, because you know,
no,
got a track record of being dreadful at this game.
Yeah, but we need to get from Milan Baroš first. So,
yes,
where are we thinking shooting off points, Milan Baroš?
I don't know. I'm quite interested. Golden boot at the Euros, just to see who else has won it, potentially.
So, what, in individual awards, UEFA European Championship Golden Boot?
Yeah.
Which, as we know, may link to more than just Golden Boot. It often, it's awards. We've been there with a treasure trove of award winners. Yeah,
very
that
true.
That would unlikely give you a Brazilian, but it would maybe give you someone who scored against Brazil.
Potentially Thierry Henry.
Ooh, yeah. We have the FA Cup final. FA Cup final.
The FA Cup itself is it would be a great way to get to Arsenal. They've had a good history of the FA Cup. Yeah, I'm not really sure because Milan Baroš has got quite a lot of things that you can click on. So it's more, do we want to go, you know, we had a great podcast, didn't we, about education, learning things as we go.
Yeah.
And we said, are we going to use this now as a way to learn more? Is there something we want to do that? Or do we want to go with a definitive game that we like to look at? You know, we love the little layouts of a pitch, the League Cup final, where he played, the Champions League final, 3-3 against Milan, get to Kaká.
Get to Dida. Who scored no goals, so that's a really bad idea. Let's quash that one straight away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a few things. I'm open to suggestions, Josh. Yeah. My initial instinct was Golden Boot of the Euros.
I'm happy with Golden Boot of the Euros.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to click on under honours, individual UEFA European Championship Golden Boot, or are we clicking on the 2004? The 2004 will probably be the Euros.
Yeah.
Golden Boot will probably be awards.
Golden Boot. Ah, so Josh, again, it's a list of all the awards ever in the UEFA Euro Championship. So we've hit a bit of a gold mine here. The intro sentence, I think, is always a good way to understand what a page shows you. So at the end of each UEFA European Championship tournament, several awards are attributed to the players and teams which have distinguished from the rest in different aspects of the game. And then it gives us player of the tournament, top goal scorer, golden boot, top scorer award, young player of the tournament, man of the match, team of the tournament, and an all-time Euro 11 as the team of the tournament.
Which all-time Euro 11? I didn't realise that was a thing.
No, I'm quite excited by that. I'm quite excited by that because obviously last time on the magazine award, EMS, I want to say it was. MES.
Remember it well.
That's
the power of education for you, people.
Yeah, it sticks in there. This is why people need to revise. Always revise, kids, because it sticks in your brain better the more you read it. But ideally, we're looking for a way into what a Brazilian player, Arsenal, that's about it, really, isn't it? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. So, we'll have Arsenal on here. So let's have a look. So top section is player of a tournament. Only awards since 1996, which is quite brief, because obviously history goes back to 1960. So we've got Matthias Sammer, Zidane, Theo Zagorakis, obviously when Greece won it, Xavi, Iniesta, Griezmann, Donnarumma, which is, you know, that's a list. We have Golden Boot, most recently won by Antoine. Oh, so this is not updated then. Oh, where's... Oh, so it's now changed to Top Goal Scorer Award.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering why there's a distinction. Yeah, so looking at the Golden Boot Award goes up to France 2016, and then I didn't realise it was called Europe 2020, the Top Scorer Award. It was commissioned by Alipay, a Chinese company sponsoring the award.
Yeah, okay. So they've changed the name because it's now got a sponsor.
Brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Which we can't complain about. We literally, this is what the podcast is about, Dave.
Yeah.
Emirates Stadium.
True.
Milan Baroš isn't actually his name. He's sponsored by AC Milan. His name is actually Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff Baroš.
France 2016, there is Olivier Giroud there.
Oh, we have Olivier Giroud. Let's pick out Arsenal. So we got Arsenal. Dennis Bergkamp.
David Seaman, Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry is in the Man of the Match award list. He's won it twice.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see him there, yeah. As well as Eric Meekland. I don't really remember Eric Meekland.
I do not remember Eric Meekland for Norway.
André Arshavin. I did like André Arshavin, actually. I remember being in a Hooters in New York City and seeing him, I think. Now...
This has already disregarded this story. I was in a New York, and I think I might have seen Arshavin.
No, on TV.
Oh, on
this
TV.
This is when Arsenal Liverpool was it 4?
Oh, when he scored his 4?
4, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that happened.
Why were you in Hooters in New York watching the Premier League game?
No, I was actually on holiday with my then girlfriend.
Right.
Now wife. And we thought, yeah, you know what? When in Rome.
When in Rome. Let's go Hooters.
Go to Hooters, yeah. Nice. Nice.
Right. Yeah, nice. Good. Back to the list. Who else have we got on here?
Granite Xhaka.
Granite Xhaka's gotten there as well, yeah.
Oh, now this just makes me feel fondly about Europe 2020. Spinazzola, what a tournament that guy had before his injury. That was great.
He was being linked to you lot, wasn't he? He's been linked to Spurs quite a lot, I think, on the back of the tournament.
It was all about Italian link, isn't it? We get linked with a lot of Italians now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, Granit Xhaka. Mesut Ozil was on the list as well as total awards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ozil. But Josh, here we go. Next one down. Team of the tournament. Do we just go straight to 96 because that's when we'll have a bit more?
Yeah, but that's when it moves to squads. I mean, up until 92, it was 11 man.
Oh,
and we have Jocelyn Onglemar in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please. Dennis Bergkamp was up front for Sweden 92. But yeah, we go to 18 man squad, 22 man squad, and now we're at a stage. Oh, no, we've moved back now to 11 man squads since France 2016.
France 2016. Wales getting two players in there, Joe Allen and Aaron Ramsey. But yes.
Yeah, it's very funny, it lines it up. And in my head, looking at Poland, Ukraine, 2012, 23-man squad, I'm like, I imagine them all on the pitch at the same time. Three goalkeepers.
I mean, you ain't scoring past those three goalkeepers if they're in net at the same time.
No.
Buffon, Casillas and Neuer.
Neuer's obviously marauding, going out there, doing some stuff. And then Buffon, Casillas just, Casillas on the left-hand side because he's left-footed and Buffon on the right-hand side. That's why.
Job done.
Yeah. Sol Campbell and Ashley Cole are in there.
Yeah, 2004. Yeah, nice.
Can we get a niche Arsenal player in here?
Davor Suker. We've already used him.
Can't go there.
Can't go there. A niche Arsenal. Why do we want a niche? Surely we're clicking on Thierry Henry. We know he's got a statue.
You know that. I just like niche sometimes, Dave.
Okay. Let's see.
We have Petr Cech. We're not that niche. But niche is Arshavin, I think. Is there any memorable goals you've got from an opposing player of the Emirates that might? Well, his goal at the Emirates is well remembered for making Arsenal fans cry. Is there anything like that?
No, I can't.
When asked to think of a goal scored at the Emirates by an opposing team, wow. Okay, the first goal that's come to mind is Aston Villa. And they had a Bulgarian left back, and they won.
Petrov?
Lint. And it was about 5 years ago, maybe. And he scored late on, and it was like, oh, Aston Villa have won. Why is that the goal that stuck in my head?
I don't know, mate.
Oh, my opposing goal, I'm thinking David Bentley tees himself up, wallops it. Unfortunately, keeper gets it. Almunia, I think it was, gets a hand to it, makes it look worse than it was.
Can I also say, didn't Danny Rose do that at the Emirates as well?
No, Spurs? That was White Hart Lane. I was at a match, and I sat behind that him hitting it, and I was like, oh!
Lovely. Yeah. Josh, we do also have, just before we move on, the all-time Euro 11. Shall I run you through the 11? All-time?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Buffon in goal is the all-time goalkeeper. Yeah. Lahm at right back. Puyol, Beckenbauer and Maldini making up the back four. Three in midfield of Pirlo, Zidane and Iniesta. That is incredible. Henry coming in off the left. Ronaldo right wing. Van Basten through the middle is what we're going with there.
Ooh, yeah, I can see why they've named those players.
Yeah, not bad, is it? That's not a bad team. So
not a bad team at all.
I would say we need to click on Henry, get it done. If there was a niche Arsenal player, I'd probably go with it. The nichest I can get to is Lukas Podolski or Andre Arshavin. So...
I'm a big fan of Thierry Henry, so I'm happy to click there.
Let's go.
Thierry Daniel Henry, born 17th of August 1977. Now,
are you sure it's Daniel and not Daniel? Is it not just Thierry Daniel Henry?
Dan.
Yeah, could be. Just putting it out there.
Now, could be. I'm going to put it out there. I also think quite a lot of people know who he is, so I'm not sure this is the most educational step we've taken, Dave. This is more for your ego, I've decided.
Mate, I'm just getting us from A to B. in the quickest way. So
he's our sat nav here. So just a quick run through his career. Obviously, there was Monaco, there was Juventus. Juventus was a bit of a bad time for him. He kind of burst on the scene as a winger at Monaco. Arsenal came calling, and wow, that took off. And he, honestly, I'd say he might be one of my favourite players of all time. I just, because for me, speed is one of my favourite traits in a player. And watching him knock it round a player and just go for it, and he's just like, there's some matches where I think he was away at Real Madrid, and he was toying with people, and it's just, oh, it's so good to watch.
I think I'd agree, one of my favourite players that hasn't played for my club, sort of thing, or even my nationality. Like, he's not English and he hasn't played for Man United. I think it was the pace and the speed matched with his finishing ability that immediately made you drawn to him. Like, oh, yeah, player.
And I must admit, I remember growing up thinking, oh, he's got just one finish. He just does the one finish all the time. Open it up and outside. You know. But you now appreciate that, okay, you got one finish, but you're still nailing it every single time.
Yeah.
And it was just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But Barcelona, I think, came a little bit too late for him. I think he was never at his peak there. Obviously, he won the Champions League there,
I think he did, yeah. I think he did win the Champions League there. Because he left the year... Wasn't it he left the year that after Barcelona beat Arsenal in the final? With Lehmann getting sent off really early?
No, it was a few years later that was it? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, runner-up in 05, 06 and won it in 08, 09. So yeah, there was probably a bit of a lag there, must have been. Yeah, so yeah, 2 years later. So yeah, he just wasn't at the peak of his powers there. I mean, went on to play a lot in MLS, in New York Red Bull, and with also a bit of a loan back to Arsenal. And we mentioned that one league goal must be that Leeds goal we were referring to.
Yeah, I think it was. Just looking at his honours, it's very rare you get to the individual point of an honours and still have to keep scrolling to get it because it doesn't fit on one page.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My word, that is unbelievable. I mean, a lot of them are in there. I don't really understand. The Premier League 10 Seasons Award, the Premier League 20 Seasons Award.
After a 10... It's like, you know, much like in the European Championship, they got the tournament, the team of the Euros. They did that at a certain point. So they're going, all right, 10 years on. We've had 10 years of Premier League. Who's in it? And that's him.
Yeah. Interesting stat for you here, Josh. Just picked up in his honours. Premier League Golden Boot winner, 2003-2004. Oh, no, it's not. I've read that wrong. Sorry. Premier League Golden Boot winner, 2001-2002 and 2003-2004. And then he got the top assister in 2002-2003. So the year he didn't win Golden Boot, he won top assister. Nice.
Contributing all round.
Yeah.
Hasn't won the Premier League top assist and Golden Boot in the same year. It's not reserved for many. That's only for Harry Kane.
And Mo Salah. Hasn't Mo Salah done it?
I don't think it's
just Harry Kane, is it?
Yeah.
There you go. Another one in the individuals, 2003 and 2006. He won the Onze d'Or. Don't know what that is. Really want to click on it. Not going to. So not going to click adjacent.
That will not help. He's also Knight of the Legion of Honour.
Good on him. Well done.
Yeah, well done him. And then we've got all the records. All-time top scorer for Arsenal, mostly goals. I mean, he's just got records galore. And he's just so charming and smooth. And he wasn't the best pundit at Sky Sports, I don't think. He got better, but I really didn't see the move into management, to be honest with you. I didn't see that coming.
No, I think you could have pictured him as a coach, but not... he went to management and he dropped out. He's back now as assistant, isn't he? Isn't he now Belgium assistant to Roberto Martinez?
Yeah,
and he went and managed Montreal. I remember that being a right, shocker. Because everyone thought Henry coming in and managing in the MLS after playing there would be amazing. And then he went back to being the Belgium assistant coach. So he must be a great assistant because he left the Belgium assistant manager job and came back to it. So he must have been doing something right. Just teach people how to shoot, surely. Teach Lukaku how to shoot properly.
I've got a feeling it's going to be one of those instances where the player's like, yeah, he looks like he'd probably still do it, put a shirt on, do it on the weekend. It's like, it might be a bit demoralising for him. Like, oh, God, look at him. Yeah. Still amazing.
True. Yeah, true.
There's a number of pictures on this page. Actually, it's very picture-laden.
Good. Like a picture-laden Wikipedia page.
Picture-laden, yeah. We've got pictures of him, you know, a number of Arsenal shirts, Barcelona shirts. We have new Red Bulls, signing autographs.
Josh. Question for you then. Yeah. Favourite shirt on this page? What's your favourite shirt on this page? that Henry's wearing, because there's a couple where he's up against opposition.
I don't know. I actually do quite like Red Bull shirt, so I'm going to go New York Red Bulls. I really do like that shirt. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mine would probably be the yellow Barcelona shirt with the stripe going through the badge. I quite like that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I do actually like his black shirt he's wearing down the bottom there outside of football, where he's got a nice jacket on with it. It's got a nice black shirt.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Oh, and just above that photo is his statue, Josh, outside the Emirates Stadium.
Nailed it. Yes, and it's got a link, and his fabled celebration where he slid on his knees after scoring a goal against Spurs. Is that where he ran the length of the pitch and put it in with his left foot, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He actually had a few good celebrations. He had, now, I still use this day, he did the What's Up celebration from a Budweiser advert. He's like, What's Up, yeah?
Really? Did he? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he quite liked running down the side of the pitch to celebrate, actually, rather than corners. He actually quite liked coming back along halfway line.
He did. I'll always remember his, the Ian Wright, when he broke the Ian Wright's record and he revealed and it said, just done it, rather than just do it from Nike. Because obviously he had a Nike sponsorship as well, and it said, just done it, which was good. But, yeah, I mean, there you go, Josh. In 2019, the Independent newspaper ranked Henry in first place in their list of 100 greatest Premier League players ever. Would you say greatest ever in the Premier League?
I think it's a very good
argument
for that. Yeah. Now, it's not mentioned this page, and this is just from knowledge of other Wikipedia pages. Charlene Spiteri, if I say that name to you, do you know who that is?
No.
Lead singer of Texas.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Is good friends with Thierry Henry.
How has that happened?
They were neighbours in London when he just moved to London, and she helped him what to do and stuff. And now there's something like he's recommended her to do something or something like that. She was promoting something the other day. I was like, how are they friends? And she referenced Thierry and her friend Thierry. I was like, yeah, but it's not mentioned on here. There's no mention of that on here, which maybe Thierry is a bigger part of her life than she is of his. But yeah, just a little bit of he's friends with the lead singer of Texas. Little known Scottish outfit.
Yeah, exactly. So, interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, interesting stuff.
No,
Henry makes a short cameo in the 2015 film Entourage. There you go. And he makes a number of cameo appearances playing himself in Apple TV's Ted Lasso, something I haven't watched yet.
No, I've not watched it, but I've heard a lot of good things about Ted Lasso.
I might have to try and find it. I'm always sceptical about American comedies involving English sport. But
If you would like to give me another example of an English American comedy involving English sport, that would be...
Name another. Nope.
Silence.
Yeah.
That's a niche statement, Dave. But yeah, I agree. Even just I'm wary of football being involved in anything like football when it's played on screen in films. It's like it's awful. And I wonder if people who are fans of martial arts look at the latest John Wick film and think that is awful fighting because they know what it's like. Whereas I'm like, whoa, look at that. And the people who don't know football think, wow, that's really good, but really it's just defenders falling to the ground while someone slightly slaloms through them. And then also, because they cut it, the angle they kick it at, you can tell is not the angle it goes in the goal. They are two different angles, people. Come on, that's never going in.
100%. I mean, what's your best thing you've seen football involved in on TV? mine's straight at the top of my head is Harchester United, Dream Team.
Dream Team, like, pretty good, yeah.
That was the best, I think. Or, what was the sort of talent show on Sky One called? And the guy for Chelsea, they got a contract at Chelsea and Jose Mourinho.
Like Sam Hutchinson.
Sam Hutchinson won it. What was it called? Soccer Next Superstar or something?
Something like that. Then we've got, obviously, Wayne Rooney's...
Street Striker.
Rio Ferdinand did his... Not punked. You got murked.
Murked. Oh, my word. Christ. Yeah, there's a lot of rubbish ones, you're right.
yeah, I think that's why they dried up. Do you know what I always loved in terms of sports and TV? Superstars. It was Superstars where they did athletics, so they would do different events, normally based in like La Manga in Spain, all different sportsmen from different, they had a boxer, maybe And they used to do, like, I don't know, you've got to do like 10 events, basically like a decathlon for retired or, you know, kind of out of season sports stars, and who's the best. I found that fascinating. Fantastic.
Because to put all the sport, the actual different sports stars against each other. Yeah, that was really good. I do remember that. Yeah. That was great fun. Anyway, we could talk about TV shows for years, probably. So should we click on Emirates Stadium and complete the link?
Let's do it.
And there we go, back to the Emirates Stadium. We've done. I called it. I said a weigh-in would be someone that's got a statue or part of the arsenalisation of the Emirates Stadium, and it worked a treat. Really, it worked a treat. So, would you like to go to the Emirates Stadium? How do you feel about tour? Because we've toured the Nou Camp together. We've done the Nou Camp together.
Correct.
As part of a really random school trip.
I enjoy a stadium tour. Really do.
Would you do the Emirates? Being a Tottenham fan, would you still go and do it?
I think so. I enjoy behind the scenes and working out what it's about. So I've done White Hart Lane Stadium tour, which was really fun. I won a little quiz. There was a little question. There's a list of all players who've played internationally whilst at Spurs. And there was a player who went by a name which no one else knew him as, and he played for, I think it was Cameroon. And they threw out there, who is this player? And I can't remember the full question, but the answer was Timothy Atuba. And I was like, yeah, got it.
And then someone at the back went, no.
No. Yeah, that happens. But no, I enjoy it. I just love finding out more about the behind the scenes. That's why I enjoy the documentaries. You find out about behind the scenes and realise what it's like. But yeah,
true.
We are where we are.
Obviously, Arsenal are being filmed now, aren't they, for the next All or Nothing.
Yes, Amazon. You'll see the Emirates in the All or Nothing series, which will be released, I presume, probably around this time next year, I thought.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I think it'll be that, I think it'll be that.
Okay, so that is our list. We went from Milan Baroš, the Czech striker, who with some honours and some injuries, I'd say we'd sum it up. He was top scorer at the Euro 2004, and therefore he won that honour. We looked through the honours, and obviously another honoree was Thierry Henry, former Arsenal legend who has a statue outside the Emirates, which is linked there, which brings us to the Emirates Stadium, Arsenal Stadium. And there we are, a four-step list between a player and a stadium. Nice, well done us.
Yeah, very well done. And only actions on Milan Baroš, I think.
Milan Baroš actions. So yeah, personal life is right at the top, which is a bit odd. Bring that down the bottom. Style of play is far too brief. I think we need to just add, bit of flavour to it, and then also his current playing situation. Is it correct he's playing amateur football? If so, make a little note of it. Some people want to read about it. They are our three actions. That's the list. That's the podcast. Well done us.
Excellent. And it does bring an end to this week's show. So well done us. Again, thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. Get in touch with us on Twitter at WikiWanderers. Or you can get in touch with us on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. And we look forward to you getting in touch with us. But we'll say goodbye for now, and we'll see you next week.